What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Okay, we are back. Another edition of Pucks in 7 brought to you once again by DamonBarber.ca. It's all about elevating your grooming experience. Celebrate this partnership. You and our listeners in for a treat. Head over to DamonBarber.ca. Use the code PUCKS IN 7, no space, and the number 7 not written out at checkout for an exclusive discount of 25% off their fantastic products. I like this part of it as well. Whether you're growing a championship-worthy playoff beard, just want to maintain that winning look, Damon Barber Canada has you covered. So thanks again to DamonBarber.ca. As we get going on another edition of PUCKS IN 7, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. We'll get into all the socials in a sec. I'm already exhausted. There's so much to get into in this podcast. It's a good thing. It's a really good thing, and I said this too on the weekend. I've said this for a long time. What we do is great. You and I just not only love hockey, we love sports. And sports, the best thing to me about sports is it's so unpredictably predictable. And you just don't know what's going to happen. And you always have something new to talk about.
Or predictably unpredictable. You know it's going to be
unpredictable. I think that's kind of what I wanted to say.
It actually both works, but maybe that's slightly more accurate. That is the fun. Right. That is the fun part. As much as we enjoy our television dramas and comedies and movies and all the rest of it, they're scripted. Maybe we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but people
they're
do.
They're not scripted. Come on. Really?
But people do. People do. And you can guess what's going to happen if you follow the plot. There's no plot to follow. And we've seen a lot of examples of this recently throughout the season, but also within the last week and the surprises around every corner, and that's what makes this game and all sports, as you mentioned, Ryan, very excited. We're going to start in the East this week,
yes,
because I think there is a headlining topic right now. I mean, we have a little bit of a bias because we both are based in Toronto usually, so we probably hear more about it. But I think this is league wide. This is the biggest talking point right now, and we're talking about Austin Matthews. Of course, he already has 49 goals.
Yeah.
Now there's discussion about, you know, I mean, I think the discussion about him reaching 60 is pretty much dead in the water if he doesn't get hurt.
Right. Knock
now
on
is
wood.
It going to be 65 or is it going to be 70 or is it going to be 70 plus? What does that mean to the heart race if he does actually get there? And I know we have a lot of racetrack left there, but the 49 already and how many games played is really impressive. My first question to you, Ryan Payton, it is Wednesday, February 21st.
Mm-hmm.
The Toronto Maple Leafs are in Arizona tonight to play
it's
Austin
fitting.
Matthews' hometown favorite team. Because, of course, he grew up in Scottsdale. The arena is right there. Yeah. Does he score number 50 tonight? Does he score number 51 tonight? Number 53? He has a couple of hat tricks in his last three games. So what do we see out of Austin Matthews tonight?
All right. First off, 53 games, 49 goals. An incredible pace. We have not We have not had I look back to 76 goals. That's what a lot of people are saying. Can he get to Teemu Selänne, who did that in 92-93? McGillney did the same thing in 92-93. And 70, Bernie Nichols, Mario, Brett Hall, the list goes on and on and on and on. You mentioned about the amount of hat tricks that he's had in the last few games. The line on him is incredible. So 2 points last game, and he had a terrible game. He only had 2 points, right?
No, I'm kidding. What a dud.
Yeah, come on, Austin, let's go. Can't do a hat trick every game. 5 points the game before against Anaheim, the hat trick. 3 points the game before that against Philly, the hat trick. One goal on three shots against St. Louis. 3 goals on 4 shots against Anaheim. 3 goals on 6 shots against Philadelphia. To answer your question, I absolutely believe he's going to get at least one tonight. It just makes sense. There's no reason. Plus, Arizona is absolutely terrible.
They've lost
right
10
now.
Straight.
They're awful.
They have lost 10 straight.
Let me tell you the most impressive thing about this whole thing with Matthews is, and people will probably say, well, hold on, the numbers are impressive. Yes, the numbers are very impressive. I'm not denying that. What I've noticed about him specifically in the last month has been his ability to get to the open areas. which I just, that is what a pure goal scorer is. They see the play like Gretzky. You see the play before it happens. You get to the spot before the puck gets to there. But even the other night, he found this open spot, and credit to his line mates and Nyes and Marner, whoever else, they get him the puck. But I just think when you are hot and when you are a pure goal scorer, that's what you do. So yeah, I'm going to say at least one. I'd love to see the hat trick. Who's to say he can't get three hat tricks in four games? I don't know. But yeah, he's going to get at least one.
I think he gets a pair. Okay. And more to your point about being in the right place at the right time. If you look at his recent shooting percentage, you just talked about how many shots and how many goals. So of course, yeah, his shooting percentage is inflated. Yeah. And you think, okay, well, that's inflated. Well, you know what? As a matter of fact, I have watched every single one of these goals in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And he is in the right spot at the right time. So that's smarts. His shot is incredibly accurate.
Yeah.
These are not bouncing off this or
let me ask you this quickly then. Does he have the most accurate best shot in the league right now?
I think he's right up there.
Okay.
I think he would be.
I would say he does.
If not, for sure, top three. Right now, I'm trying to think of somebody else, and I can't. So obviously, there's your answer for you.
Yeah.
So it is going to be incredible. I think he scores two against the Arizona Coyotes. I don't think he gets a hat trick just because. But also, so we'll segue now into Matthews has been amazing.
Yeah.
They've also won four straight, and they've won four straight without Morgan Rielly in the lineup.
Full disclosure on that, I absolutely forgot that he had been suspended. I did. The other day, the other night when they were playing, I thought, oh yeah, right, he's not in the lineup. Not because he's missed. He certainly is missed because he's a great player. But I don't know.
But he hasn't been missed in the moment.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like he's missed because he's their best defenseman. So of course, in general, in the large scheme, he is missed, but he hasn't been missed because they're 4-0 without him.
Right.
And what I find very interesting about this, and I have very mixed feelings about this whole situation because of the suspension and him being out and the fact that it almost looks like the Leafs are capitalizing because they've used this suspension as a rallying point.
Yep.
Now they're winning for Mo.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, defensively, this team looks much better than they have been in recent play. And William Nylander said exactly that the other night.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, we're battling. I mean, every game is a battle. We got to battle for a playoff spot and keep fighting. So I think, we've answered the bell. And I think Mo kind of started our lit the fire in the team. So I think, we'll battling for Mo.
Right? I mean, it's great. I like the fact, okay, here, this is why I have mixed feelings. I love the fact that the Maple Leafs are rallying around negativity, something that should have set them back, and they're coming together as a team. I don't necessarily enjoy the fact that something that should have been a legitimate punishment for a particular player and for a particular team is being turned into a positive. That's why I have mixed feelings.
You know what? It's not the punishment in my mind. It's the act that he went after somebody and he made a point because Toronto's been soft. They are been one of the softest teams for a very, very long time. And that's what I think is the most important thing. But good on them. They're winning. Tampa's not. We'll get to them in a second. But it doesn't sometimes in now they have a lot of runway left, as you said, especially Matthews does to try to get 70, whatever it is. Sometimes you need that moment in a season where all of a sudden things start to click and get going. And maybe that's it. Long way to go, but we'll see. So you think two tonight? I think one.
All right. It is noted.
So let's agree with three. Hey, how about that? Let's both be wrong. Let's get five.
That would be mostly entertaining. Yes.
It would be.
The Maple Leafs are winning these days. You know who else is winning? The Rangers are winning. The Rangers are winning a lot.
Yeah. They look good. Igor Shesterkin, the sample size since he's been back or since he's gotten back to starting is not big, but he looks great. They're very deep. Adam Fox, every time I see the guy play, it's just ridiculous. They had that rookie come in and the outdoor game and he fought Matt Martin of the Islanders. Good. He's about 6'8 or something. Everything that they do, and that comeback too, we'll get in a sec, but that comeback against the Isles was great. Everything that they do, they're such a well-coached team. They all know what they're doing. Defensively, they're strong. Up front, some nights it can be Panarin. Other nights it could be, I don't know, Kako. Vinny Trocheck has been playing well lately. It could be Adam Fox another night. They don't need to rely on one or two or three people every single night. And what I noticed too when I saw them is just their attention to detail. And even if they're down, they don't give up. They are one of, if not, I think they're their hottest team right now in the NHL.
We're going to get to the stadium series in a little bit because you were there. So you watched it live and in person. I watched it on my television set at home. It was a spectacular event. Again, we'll get to that in a moment. Yeah. And I will tell you this. When the Rangers were down 3-1, you knew they weren't out of it.
Yeah.
You just knew it. Just the way, the confidence, even though they were down in shots.
That's a sign of a very good hockey team. When you can watch and think, you know what? They're not done. They're not done.
They're not done at all. I wasn't positive they were going to win it or even in regulation, but I thought there was a very good chance they were going to tie it up and maybe push it to overtime, maybe the Isles. And okay, if you didn't watch the game, the Rangers did end up winning it in overtime. But that, again, it's a show of resiliency. It is the show of a very good, a very well-coached team, as you mentioned already. I'm a little concerned. They're a little top-heavy with Panarin, Zibanejad, Trocheck, and Kreider. Little concerned. But the fact that Kako is playing a little bit better now, you're still getting contributions from Lafreniere and different players. Jimmy Vesey has been a little bit better of late. I think this is going to be a very dangerous team. If Shesterkin could keep it together, because he wasn't great during that Islanders game. Now, I know the outdoor stuff is weird on goals. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Yeah.
But the other three he played in since he returned from his little tape-watching vacation, whatever we want to call it.
You can call it that, for sure.
He has been absolutely fantastic. We should worry about the Rangers indeed. And the only other team to me that is dominating in similar fashion in the East is the Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers, these two are neck and neck for me right now.
Yeah.
Full respect to the Boston Bruins. But the Panthers and the Rangers are the best.
I don't even think about the Boston Bruins, to be honest with you. And maybe we should, but I don't know. They're just going to be there in the end. This Florida Panthers team is more dangerous now than they were last season. Game, you want to talk about turning points of not just the season for Florida, but maybe the next season. That down 3-1 to the Bruins, Brad Marchand with a chance to win it, but Bobrovsky the save, the rest is history. Yeah, the Panthers lost, but the fact is nobody thought they would even get past Boston. Remember when Matthew Tkachuk wasn't playing as well? Remember we talked about this, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months ago, and we said, okay, watch out for him to get going. Not saying he's lighting up the lamp, but you want to talk about a deep team as well? They're an incredibly deep team. They won 6 in a row, 9 of their last 10 games. They are much stronger than they were a season ago, and that's deadly. That's, to me right now, out of the two, you said it, the Rangers and Florida, the top two teams, I would even say Florida a little bit ahead, and I would give them the edge to come out of the East. I know that's going to be in June, that's fine, but I give them the edge.
The stat that strikes me the most, and this one surprised me, just because I hadn't thought about it, We've been talking about the Winnipeg Jets for months now, the stingiest team in hockey in terms of goals allowed, right? They've just been notorious for... The Florida Panthers are number two.
Yeah.
You couldn't have told me that.
137 goals against.
And so it's like 11 fewer than the Winnipeg Jets, but they've played two more games, so you would have more goals allowed if you were going to look at it that way, right?
Yeah.
But number two in the league, because we know they can score. They score more than the Winnipeg Jets. We know that.
The Jets have given up 128. Very close. Yep.
Defensively, this team probably isn't, and it's not just in the net, although they have been good. Bobrovsky in particular, they have been good in the net, but they've also been very good defensively. They are a team that is hard to play against, and we did watch that last spring.
And they are absolutely dynamite on the road. Best team on the road in the NHL, 27-2. In 29 games, they won 20 of those. That's pretty good.
That is very impressive.
Yeah, that is impressive. Good on the Panthers. They're playing well. Rangers playing well. Tampa Bay. Victor Hedman said the other night. John Cooper said the other night. we can't. I'm paraphrasing. We can't be playing like this at this time of the season. We can't have a one win here, two losses here, two wins here, one win here. We can't do that.
John Cooper said the same thing. The Panthers on the
I know they
9-2.
Did. Hey, listen, just
no, they can't play like that.
No. The whole point is that they have not been able to get on some sort of run. Yeah, that game was absolutely ridiculous. They got smoked. So I'm going to say this. It's been kind of flip-flopping between Toronto and Tampa in the Atlantic for third. And based on the way Toronto's playing, and maybe Tampa, maybe they'll kind of go back and forth. It could be those two. Maybe Detroit will bump up. I don't know. Only time will tell. But I think right now for top spot is Boston and Florida. They're going to battle it out for first. I am not convinced, and I'll say this right now, that Tampa Bay may even make the postseason. I'm just going to throw that out there right now.
That's that's bold. I think you still have a very good shot at a wild card spot at minimum, just simply looking at the other teams they would be fighting one for: Detroit Red Wings, Philadelphia Flyers, I don't know, maybe the Islanders. The other competition doesn't impress me enough. I think Tampa still has it in them. They still have the history. They still have the experience. They still have Kucherov, who is basically dragging this team, scoring way more than anybody else, way more than Braden Point, way more than Steven Stamkos. He's continuing on his pace. The only thing that concerned me the other day, any team, we just saw it happen to Vancouver. We'll get to that in the West. Any team can get pumped on any given night. It happens. You throw out a dud. It is what it is. So when they lost 9-2 to the Panthers, I thought, okay, they are going to rebound. Fine. They've got the Senators next. This is not going to be an issue. They're going to prove who they are, prove their mettle, all the rest of it. And they lost. They lost to the Ottawa Senators.
You know what? I think that that loss was worse than the 9-2.
Me too.
Yep.
Me too.
9-2, they weren't in the game from the get-go. I don't even think half of them played. They left and they went to the beach. But I think the Ottawa, to your point, I thought they need to respond. And that's to me what makes this team not like it's been. It's not like it's been. You look at the month. They lose 3-1 and 6-2 back-to-back nights. Then they win 4-2 and they beat Boston 3-2. So they win. And then they beat Colorado. Then they get smoked by Florida. Then they lose to Ottawa. They have Washington, the Islanders, a few more games after that. They need to win these games. I'm going to say even 4 out of 5. I really, at least 3 out of 5 to give Tampa Bay Lightning fans hope that this team will actually, I'm telling you again, I don't think they're going to make it in. I really don't.
Their schedule is rather favorable. I know you just mentioned they have the Capitals next and then they have the Islanders. After that, listen to this though. Devils, Flyers, Sabres, Canadiens.
Well,
these are all very winnable games.
Yeah.
So we'll see. This will show us. Because if they go 500 or worse in these next six games against, again, very beatable teams, then I think fans in Tampa are going to have very good reason to worry about not even necessarily their team making the playoff, but doing anything past maybe a round. And that's the bigger concern, right?
And what's going to be also intriguing, the way Tampa plays the next, I don't know, what are we, how many days are we away from the trade deadline? March 8th? The way they play in the next little bit? So there you go. Maybe who knows what they're going to do? Is this going to change their game plan going forward? You're right. They still have Kucherov, Vasilevsky. I don't fault the guy at all. Coming back from back surgery as a goalie, I can only imagine how tough that is. I'm going to give him a huge mulligan on this one. I really am. I don't think it's his fault. The team just is not playing as well in front of them. Buffalo, are they done? 52 points? I think so.
Oh, it's over now.
Yeah.
See, we've seen what the Sabres have done in the past, most recently last season, and they go on this late charge because they do have talent. There's so much talent on that team. Expectations were much higher for what they were going to accomplish this season, and they actually won the last two games going into the All-Star break, which gave me a little bit of hope that they were going to come out of it and maybe go on a little bit of a run, and they haven't. It's been win one, lose one, lose two, win one, lose two. And again, they're also losing to teams. And the other day, I watched their game the other night. They're not. Tage Thompson is not himself. I think he's hurt. Something is wrong. The chemistry that we saw last season or even in different parts of this season is simply not there. I mean, we're like, it seems a bit sillier. The Buffalo Sabres out of it. They're a million points out of a wild card spot right now. They're not winning games. So I think it's easy to say they are out of it. My bigger question to you now is, are they going to finish dead last in the East outside of the Columbus Blue Jackets? Right now, the only two teams who are behind them are the Montreal Canadiens and the Ottawa Senators, who are playing much better hockey than the Buffalo Sabres are right now. And what happens in Buffalo if they finish 15th, only above the Columbus Blue Jackets that just fired their GM because they're so bad?
Well,
I mean, we're going to be talking coaching changes. We're going to be talking different changes.
Kevin Adams will have to, he'll have to do something. To Tage Thompson, your point, 47 goals a season ago, 16 now in 45 games, I think. Yeah, he just has not looked himself. And I'm with you. When you take a dip that much from one season to the next, again, the season's not done, but it's not like he's going to score 30 in the next whatever games.
Probably
when
not.
When you take a dip in that, you have to look at the health. And these guys are warriors, get it. They play through everything. But when he's not going, it's just a prime example. When he's not going, Buffalo's not going. That's a great point. If they do finish behind those two teams, especially Columbus, wow. Who would have, Buffalo's been doing this though for years. They start well, then in the middle, they kind of fade a bit, and then they end up fading at the end of the season. You look back to their record, Maybe I'll do this for next podcast. I want to go back to the schedule and the scores that they had, but I just have a, this is kind of their blueprint that they've been doing for a long time. They come out firing, and then they end up being who we think they are.
They're very strong at the very end.
Right, the last week or two, which doesn't make
fans. Yeah. Well, they only finished a point out of a playoff spot, remember, last year.
Right, fair enough, yeah.
So, but during the meat of the season, where you have to be consistent, where you have to garner those 2 points more games than not, they've been failing to do so. But the fact that we expected them to improve upon last season's performance, and they're doing much worse, they're my biggest disappointment in the East. And it isn't even close.
Okay.
It is not even close. I expected so much more from them. One team I wasn't expecting much more from, and I said this even before the season started, and it is going the way I anticipated it would. I think, are we ready to sort of call it on the Pittsburgh Penguins? Maybe.
Oh, no. Yeah, Vic. Yeah. So I had this discussion on the weekend about the Penguins and what they're going to do when it comes to the deadline. Kyle Dubas came out and said every non-core guy is basically being looked at and being shopped. So what does that tell you? And then what I think about too is Sidney Crosby. He doesn't have a lot of years left on the contract. And what's the discussion going to be by Dubas to him before the deadline? Look, Sid, it's just not happening. We've got to unload. Like, what's he going to say? I don't know if Crosby's going to agree with it, but at the end of the day, it's Kyle Dubas's decision. But yes, they're done. They are. And for weeks, it was Washington and Pittsburgh. I know you and I talked about this at length. Which of these two teams would maybe be there in the end, would maybe just squeak into a playoff spot? But the Penguins just don't have it. They've not been consistent at all.
And there are too many other teams that are giving it a little bit of a go.
Yeah.
Like the Detroit Red Wings, like the Philadelphia Flyers, who are ahead of them.
What's the deal with Erik Karlsson? How can you go from a season with that many points in San Jose to a season that you're having in Pittsburgh? You play on a terrible team in San Jose. How do you get that?
Big fish, small pond. Everybody gave him the puck at every given opportunity all the time.
Well, he should be demanding the puck. He should be demanding
the puck. Something should change there, but they should up. They cannot be stuck holding Jake Guentzel past the trade deadline.
No,
12 points out of a playoff spot.
He's on the top of the trade bait list for a lot of different, a lot of people out there right now. He's injured too, but.
But he's going to be fine by the time it matters.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
And so what? That's not even a bad thing to me. The fact that he was ruled out 4 weeks, he's basically done a week already. So now all of a sudden, a contending team is going to get a Jake Guentzel, who's going to basically be a rental at least temporarily.
Yeah.
And you're going to have him with fresh legs and a fresh attitude and feeling rested because he hasn't been on the ice. I think that's more bonus than anything else.
Right.
So they can't be stuck holding him. They just can't.
I jumped past one of the quick Jager note you wanted to put in there.
I really enjoyed
the
whole ceremony.
Yeah. Best part was when he said, my girlfriend doesn't remember me playing with
that was hilarious, but he's always been a funny guy.
Yeah,
and
I know.
I LOL'd on my couch when I was watching that. It was like, but I've told her the stories. She doesn't remember being a Penguin, but I told her the stories. And the fact that it was so touching because his father had passed, his mom wasn't going to go. She was so happy she did. She hadn't been on an airplane apparently in over 20 years.
Yeah.
The whole ceremony was well done. The fact he took warm-ups with the team, the fact that he still looked completely in place taking warm-ups with the team.
Well, I was joking. I said, hey, Kyle Dubas, do you want to just sign him for, give him 5 minutes a game, put him on a power play and just call it a day? Why not?
Well, he'd be better than half your team. Playing pro. Of course, 52. He's not going to be able to keep up, but I really, really enjoyed all of it. I mean, everybody loved watching, whether you like disliked them or loved them or not. Everybody appreciated Jaromir Jagr. The swagger
he was
brought
awesome.
To the game, the hair, the look, the attitude, the way he played. Big guy, real forceful out there. That was a lot of fun.
Very quickly on the Carolina Hurricanes. They won 3 in a row. They're still in second in that Metro, 71.6 back of the Rangers. They've been this team to me that has just quietly gone about their business. And a team that quietly goes about their business to me is a dangerous one in the postseason. I know they've had injuries, Freddie Anderson, all that type of thing, but I don't talk about them. I don't think we talk very much about them. We haven't talked. The Rangers, yes. Flyers, great story. Devils, not so good. What are other teams in the East? Boston doing it? We don't talk much about the Carolina Hurricanes.
Well, we were terribly loquacious about the Rangers and Panthers for about 5 minutes, and we didn't even mention the fact the Canes are right there. They're 8-2 in their last 10. Yeah. They're doing it with without their number one netminder, who has been out forever. And now we're hearing that Freddie Anderson is actually taking warm-ups and seeing pucks in practice. And there's still no timeline in place, and they're not going to mess around because of his medical condition. They're going to make sure that they are 100% certain. But now they roll out Spencer Martin for a couple in a row, and he plays beautifully. That game against Vegas the other night was ridiculously impressive. If they can ride Kochetkov and Spencer Martin for another couple, 2-3 weeks, and then a fresh Freddie Anderson comes back in decent shape, look out.
Yeah, the East is great. The East has a lot of great storylines right now. Quickly wrapping on the East, the Stadium Series, it was great. I was able to go at MetLife, saw both the games, Flyers, Devils. That was a good one. The Devils needed that game, and they got it. And then that crazy comeback by the Rangers. I didn't think they were going to do it, but they did. And over 150,000 fans came through the two days. And a friend of mine texted me saying in the four outdoor games this season, this year, over 252,000 people have attended four outdoor games. So whatever that average is, I don't know. We spoke to Gary Bettman, and he hinted a bit about expansion, but didn't really give us too much about that. But at the end of it, it was great, and I love it. Any outdoor games, and the NHL should just keep doing them, and they will.
Different perspective, it was an amazing spectacle on television as well.
Yeah,
so even if you can't go to, and I've been lucky enough to attend them as well, but I wasn't able to go to this one, I have a few regrets about that. Next time I'm going to force myself, just grab the ticket and head on down there, especially within driving distance. I'm going to go to the next one. They're even talking about doing this again at MetLife with the two games over the weekend because it was so popular.
You know what one of the discussions was? And then we'll stop. Having it in Central Park.
Okay. My practical mind is worried about the logistics of that. What do you build? Where do you put all
but
of the just, people?
Who cares?
But if they
but just
pull
think,
it
just
off.
Picture that in your mind.
Yeah, wow. I'm trying to picture the traffic. Oh, boy.
Who cares? Traffic in New York is brutal. Good on the end. I'm with you. These are great games, and can't wait to see some of the other ones as well. East is done. We'll go west. What's up with Vancouver? The Kings back on track. Calgary, just sell everybody. That's what I think you should do. We'll continue. Pucks and Seven brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Ryan Payne, Victoria Madiash. We will be right.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Madiash.
We're back. Pucks at 7, brought to you by Damon Barber Canada. Damon Barber Canada, all about elevating your grooming experience from offering premium products to their commitment to quality. Damon Barber is a name that resonates with those who appreciate the finer things. So head over to DamonBarber.ca, use the code PUCKSIN7, all one word, 7 is the number, don't write it out, at checkout for an exclusive discount of 25% of all their fantastic products. We're talking hair care, skin care, stuff for your beard. This is really, these are gorgeous products.
Yeah.
So head on over there and we can save you 25%. Okay, we just zipped through the East.
We did.
And now
kind of.
Every time you have to correct me on that.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
It was 25 minutes. That's fast enough.
That's zippy. Okay, go.
That's zippy enough. Now we are going to look at the 7 top stories in the West right now. Pucks and 7, obviously. And just like the headline of the last segment had to be Austin Matthews, I think the headline for this particular segment, looking at the West, has to be the fact that the Vancouver Canucks are done. Yeah. I mean, we are just ruling them out now.
Yeah. Blow it all up. You got 2.5 weeks to figure it out, guys. Blow it up. Done. Trade everybody.
Fact is, they have lost 3 straight.
Uh-oh.
And this
Watch
is newsworthy
out.
Because Vancouver, this is the first time Vancouver has lost 3 straight.
It's the first time they've had any sort of struggle.
Long.
They're fine. It is
fine.
It is what it is. Everyone needs to just take a break. And this is one of the negative things about being so good for most of the season. Mm-hmm. If you go in a little bit of a funk, then everyone gets concerned. You have 80 points. You're 10 points ahead of Vegas. So you lead the division by 10. You lead Edmonton by 13 points. You've scored 213 goals. If I'm not mistaken, that still tops. Yeah, still tops in the NHL. One more than Dallas. One more than Colorado. I'll tell you this, though. A discussion again I had on the weekend. Said, what are the top 5 teams that people are most concerned about in the postseason? in the West. Vancouver was not in the top five of every single person I spoke with. They mentioned Vegas instead. They mentioned Colorado. They mentioned Dallas. They do not have the confidence that Vancouver can do what they do in the 82 games to go for a full four-round playoff run to get to the Cup. That's the thing. They don't think that that team is built to do what the other ones can.
I wonder if it's the way that they're constructed, or it's more so the fact that we just haven't seen it from them recently.
Probably more the latter. I think we haven't seen them. Yeah.
We just saw Vegas win, and then we saw Colorado win before then, and then we've seen other teams. Dallas has made a charge in recent years. Vancouver hasn't been in the postseason, so this is a very out of the blue story, at least for the season it is. We're getting more accustomed to it now. The only, again, these are minor concerns. Vancouver's going to be just fine. I don't know if they're built to win in the playoffs yet, and we're not going to know, and we're not going to know, Ryan, until we see them play in them.
Right. We're
just not going to know. It's very difficult to predict that stuff and how it translates from a regular season to play, especially when you haven't seen the team and the team hasn't had that experience in recent years. The only concern I have over the last three games, and never mind that 10-7 shellacking at the hand of the Wild where there were three hat tricks from three different players.
I wouldn't say that was a shellacking. They only lost by three.
Okay.
It was like a football game decided field goal. Yeah.
Okay, but it was an offensive shellacking by the Wild on them.
Fair enough.
I know they scored seven goals as well. And if you tell me that any team is going to score seven goals any night, they're winning that hockey game.
They scored six in 5 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
And then they stopped.
Yeah.
So.
Well, because they used all of it in almost 6 minutes. They were done.
My concerns, mm-hmm. not only that game in particular, but the 3-1 loss to the Avalanche, and again, the 4-2 loss to the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
They blew leads in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like teams that don't hang on to win, especially the Vancouver Canucks, who have been the best in the business at doing that, at holding a lead, all season long. Also, their power play stinks right now. So, but these are fixable things. So,
right.
Fixable.
And here's what you do for the rest of the month. Going back to the next game. So they end with the Kings. They have the Penguins before that. Tough game this weekend against Boston. And they have the Kraken coming up tomorrow. What you do is you get right back on track against Seattle. Play Boston tough. If you win that, no one's going to be talking about the losses anymore. But I'm with you. These are very fixable problems. And if the team was not as good as they have, whatever they have up front is great. When you have Quinn Hughes on the back end to lead, you're fine. Demko and goal's been phenomenal. There's nothing wrong with the club. Just a little blip. Just a tiny blip.
And Rick Tocchet has said exactly the same thing. So if he's not spazzing out about this,
no.
Never mind.
Yeah. That was a crazy, though, 10-7 game. Anyway.
It was very entertaining.
I've never seen something like that
before. No, neither have I.
What was interesting is that on the weekend, there were two 9-2 games. Toronto beat Anaheim 9-2, and the Panthers beat Tampa 9-2. And then I look back, and I think there was a 9-2 game last week at some point. There was like a 7-0 game, an 8-1 game, and now you've got a 10-7 game. I mean, they're scoring like crazy. It's fun to watch it, but pretty stressful if you're Minnesota. In Vancouver.
Well, you know, who else it's stressful for? This trend of scoring more goals and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Somebody who writes about fantasy hockey and needs to tell people which goaltenders to start.
Would that be you?
I've been put in some uncomfortable situations. Yeah.
Sleepless nights for Vic. Can you stop scoring, people? Get the NHL.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Roll out Philip Gustafson. It'll be fun.
Yeah, no problem. The coaching change worked in Edmonton. I didn't think the coaching change was needed, but when they brought in the new coach, Knobloch, the team's been playing well. Is it working? And are things okay? Are we satisfied with the direction the Kings are going in now?
A lot more than we were before.
Right, but is this going to continue? That's my point. Have we seen enough that, they're kind of getting back on track?
I would say four straight wins is starting to give you a little bit of confidence.
Some steam, yeah.
Especially since it followed up immediately a 7-0 loss to the Sabres, where there was a lot of hand-wringing. Oh my goodness, they really need to do something serious here. And then they've won four straight since.
Yeah.
What do you think about Byfield? That young buck. So, goal of the season last night, and you're looking at this 21-year-old, and if he continues, I don't care if he plays in the top six, I don't care if he plays on a third line and actually gets Pierre-Luc Dubois going, which he probably needs to do, that's going to help them all around.
No one can get PLD going except him. Nobody.
Maybe.
He's got the issue. He does. Carry on.
But just watching him come all the way up, go online, go on YouTube, watch this goal. You're going to watch it five times over and over and over, because I definitely did. He just, the way he's, it's slick. It's skilled. It's, he muscles his way through everybody. I'm going to call it the goal of the year so far, maybe at least top three.
Oh, sure.
Definitely.
Easy. No.
They have the 4-game win streak is going to help a ton.
Yep.
It's now they can get it out of their heads, because we knew this was a good hockey team. We never doubted that this was a good hockey team.
Yep.
We just doubted whether they were going to figure it out. And now they're showing us through 4 games that they're figuring it out.
And what would be key for them to really make me believe that, okay, they have turned the corner. You have 2 more games left in your homestand, one against Nashville, then the weekend against Anaheim. Anaheim's a given. They, what terrible. I know upsets can happen, whatever. Nashville, that'll be tough. But if they can just win these two, and then they go on the road, the Western Canadian trip, tough game against Edmonton in Calgary, and then you go to Vancouver a week from tomorrow. But if you're able to do this, I think for this week for me, and say take 2 out of 3 on that West Coast trip for in Canada for the LA Kings, I think that's going to really, really get my mind at least thinking that this team is back. Because you're right. It's not a bad hockey team. Even when they won the Funk, they're not a bad hockey team. And if the problem was a coach, fine. But at the end of the day, they have some pretty good assets. Yeah, you're shrugging.
I don't think the problem was the coach.
I don't think so either. I think 99% of all these coaching firings have nothing. Well, maybe 95.
No, that's a little high.
Maybe, okay, maybe 82 and a half.
I'm going to say a solid 65. Two-thirds of the time when they move the coach, it's just because he can't fire the players. Honestly, but maybe that is what they have to do. Look at what's going on in Vancouver right now. We were all sad about Bruce Boudreau last year. So I don't know.
You set up this Calgary competitive, but you want to do the side note here with Hillington.
Okay, so let's first start with the Oliver Shillington story, because it is absolutely amazing. If you haven't been able, if you haven't read about it or watched any of the interviews, he's a defender for the Calgary Flames who took a long break from hockey all of last season, plus then some, because he was dealing with mental health issues. He was very upfront about it, but he needed the time away. He didn't specify what they are. Frankly, none of our business. But he was upfront about the fact this is why he is stepping away from the game, and he stepped away from a long time. He has been back for 9 games now, and he finally scored. And this is not a big scoring guy, so this was really nice.
No. First time since April 18th, 2022, almost been 2 years.
Yeah. And it was another end-to-end rush. Nazem Kadri compared the goal to Bobby Orr, which is a little generous.
But anything to help your teammates. Yeah.
And this is, when asked afterwards how it's all been coming back, this was his response.
Well, I think it just means a lot in many ways, just with everything that's happened and the storyline and just me once upon a time thinking that I wouldn't come back. So it was just, I just felt grateful. Just being back with my teammates and being back with people that's very familiar to me, it just means a lot. And just seeing and meeting people on the street, giving me love, it means a lot. So it was nothing I could have expected, but I just want to return the favor. That's why I'm here. So I'm just playing with a lot of joy and a lot of happiness, and I'm going to keep doing that.
We talked about this a little bit before we came on. You and I both love this type of story. We love these things. And I don't know, that's all I'm going to say about that. It's just a really nice story. And even if he doesn't do anything else from here on in, no goals, whatever it is, the fact that he's back and the fact that he's happy and doing what he's doing, I think is a huge testament to him and everybody around him.
It's not his job to help the rest of us. But when players speak out like that and prove that there can be a light at the end of the tunnel when you're dealing with these issues, I think is massive.
And you need to think, if you're, look, we all deal with things, and for those that deal with them, certainly it's very hard. But if
to varying degrees, some of us have more issues than others.
So you can say, if he can do it or she can do it, then why can't I? And if you keep doing that,
can come back from this stuff. And to hear him so sincerely, the gratitude is incredibly sincere. You know he really means it. Not that I would suspect otherwise, but you know what I mean. This is somebody who is speaking from the heart.
Yep.
And I think it really resonates amongst all of us. Put sports in perspective a little bit as well. And I think we could all use that reminder from time to time.
Yep.
But when you have like the transaction of these stories, when people are dealing with mental health issues, come out the other end with sports. It's something I think we can all appreciate. We can appreciate what he's been through. And for however long, again, you know, he doesn't need to score again. I don't think he's that type of player anyways. I think he brings other things to the Calgary Flames blue line. But no, it was my favorite story of the week, I would say.
Yeah, no, it's really good. Calgary's done, so they need to sell absolutely everybody. We're not going to talk about that. They just have to sell everybody. Hanifin's gone. Tanev's going to be gone. Markstrom may be gone. You have to do it. Anyway, leave it at that.
They're remaining competitive right now, but we
No. Nashville, what did you make of Andrew Burnett canceling the planned team trip? And it was after a 9-2 loss to Dallas. They got thumped again, those 9-2 games. But Burnett said, "Nope, we're not
summarize. I'm going to summarize the story. So the team had, before their game against Vegas, they had tickets to the U2 concert at the Sphere, yes, which has been basically the show to watch in North America.
I think anything in the Sphere, let alone U2, absolutely.
They're apparently really blowing it out of the water too. But anyway, for sure. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So this was a nice treat for the team to go together, a team bonding thing, what have you, break up the season a little bit, go in the extra night. So that was taken away from them. The fact that the Nashville Predators haven't played as well lately, the decision from Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett, they decided no concert for you guys. You don't get to go anymore. We're spending the extra day in Nashville and we're going to fly right in and play Vegas because you don't deserve it. Essentially, you are grounded. I can't stand this. I don't like any situation. I don't care if you're my manager, you're my boss, you're a family member. Any situation where you're treating a grown-up like a child, I don't think is ever going to pay off. Now, I understand. Why do you get a treat going to a concert if you haven't been playing well? And obviously, they think it's effort-based. I understand that. So this is what you do.
But so what? But it wasn't planned the day before they got thumped. It was planned for a long time. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it...
You're fine with them taking it away from them?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, you were just saying if they're not doing well, then you take it away. This thing was planned weeks ago. So who cares if they're going on a 5-game skid? You have something planned. I'm with you. I totally agree with you. I think it's absolutely stupid.
I just don't like it when adults are infantilized. I can't stand it. No. I don't think it helps in any situation. I will say, this is what I was going to say about it, though. If they really didn't want that to treat them to the situation because they just haven't appreciated the effort recently, this is what you do. You say the team comes together and says, we're going to postpone this. We're not going to do it right now because we don't think we're in a good spot, but we're going to look to reschedule it beginning of April, whatever it is, you postpone it. You don't come out and tell the entire NHL world, including all the fans, everybody who watches the game, you guys have been bad kids, and now you don't get to go to the concert anymore. That's for 12-year-olds.
That's not
for grown-up. They put them in timeout and took away the concert.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I totally do. And Barry Trotz said a message had to be sent, not just to the fans, but to the team. And then he thought optically, if they didn't do well the game after they went to the concert, that would be bad. It's ridiculous. It is. It's completely stupid. And
it's how to lose a team. I wouldn't want to play for them. And I know they won since. I think that's great. They've won since. Fantastic.
No, it was a mistake. It's a mistake.
But I don't trust my coach anymore. That's all.
Arizona. Not surprised this at all. Coming back down to earth, it's kind of like, to me, the Seattle story. Last year they were great, and this year they've kind of, not like they're terrible, but they're back down to earth. We mentioned Arizona 4 weeks that they could possibly still be in contention, but I mean, reality is reality. The team is not very good. And what did you say? They've lost 10 straight?
Is that what it is? 10? One was
could be 11 tonight against Toronto. Sorry? Oh, there's always a silver lining.
They got the losing
point.
Find
the positivity. Yeah.
But they lost 9 in regulation. Yeah. Like, at least when you go on a 10-game losing streak, often some of them, at least you get the loser point and you took it to overtime or a shootout. This team is really struggling. I root for them. I always hope that they manage to find a way to turn it around, and they give you these little glimpses. The youth plays well for a while. So, I mean, he's no Jake Guentzel, but if this team is left holding Jason Zucker by the time that the trade deadline comes and goes, that's going to be tragic. They're not going to get back 2 first-round picks for the guy or anything like that, but he is movable and he can be an asset in any other team's bottom six. He can skate like the wind, for crying out loud. They need to move this guy. So
I'm a sucker for Zucker.
All right. Okay, so it took us...
I know.
42 minutes.
I know, because I wanted to. I was trying to think of stuff, and nothing really came to me, and then it just did.
You were going for quality over quantity.
You know how much deadline cap space that they have at this moment?
I'm going to imagine a lot.
$13.6 million.
Okay.
Deadline cap space. Current cap space, about 10. So I'm with you.
But this is a team that's traditionally taken on salary from other teams so they can make the minimum.
Yep, I know.
Not surprising. Happy story. Let's talk about your BFF. Nathan McKinnon.
How much time do we have? I know. Yeah, so what's he at now? He has points in 27.
Yes.
27 straight games on the road. I mean, at home. It's one thing to get points. I get it. And all these streaks happen. I just think, and maybe this can lead into the Hart Trophy discussion too, because you and I believe there's a four-person race for this, and I think most people would agree with that, with McKinnon, Matthews, McDavid, and Kucherov. But Nathan McKinnon to me, and I think I said this to you at some podcast we did a couple of weeks ago about the bursts, the speed bursts. He is he's 20 plus more at 20 miles an hour more than McDavid. Not saying that that's saying something, but everyone says how McDavid is so fast. Yes. But McKinnon, I believe, is faster than McDavid. I'll just leave that. But what he is doing for the team, he does it so quietly, has that really nice contract. To me, he's an all-around, and I know I'm crushing on him. It's totally great. To me, he's just an all-around, he's a complete hockey player. He is. And the stuff that he does that he makes it look so easy, is it boggles my mind. Good on all you, right. Nate. Love you.
And he
Thanks
is.
For that.
And if I was starting...
Oh, I'm good now. Yep.
This is always the period of the podcast when Ryan blushes a little bit because he gets to talk about his favorite.
It's the extra lighting.
Gets to talk about his favorite.
Can you carry on? Yeah.
In that vein, if I was starting a hockey team tomorrow outside of Connor McDavid, he would be my number one pick.
Yeah, easy.
Having said that, he is not my pick right now for the Hart Trophy. If we're going to say, and I think we can comfortably say, that it is a four-player race right now, Nikita Kucherov, Nathan McKinnon, Connor McDavid, and Austin Matthews based on goals, mm-hmm. If we say it's a four-player race, who is your pick today, February 21st, 2024?
See, that's tough. That's a tough question. And the reason is because there's games left. And the reason is because Matthews...
No, I said today. The season ends today.
Oh, so if it ends today.
Today.
I'd say Matthews.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Austin Matthews. Yeah. Reason being is Kucherov, they're all great players. McDavid, they have a deeper team than Toronto does. I think Colorado has a deeper team. I'm not sure about Tampa. Kucherov's been great. Maybe it's a toss-up between Kucherov and Matthews. But I just think with the goals and what he has done, helping the team to just kind of not fall off the rails like they maybe we're thinking of going to do from all these fans. I just think you can't ignore the goal scoring. I really can't. And I know that hockey's more than that. It's about assists, about what you do. But I just think you can't ignore what he's done in the goal. When he won the Hart Trophy, when did he win it? 2 years ago? One of three? Two? How many goals did he have? He had 60. Big reason why he won the Hart is because he had those goals, right? You tell me that wasn't a huge thing?
Okay, so
same thing.
If I'm looking at it as, which the trophy is supposed to be for most valuable player.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Lightning are not in a playoff spot without Nikita Kucherov. Colorado Avalanche are in. You know I can never say Colorado Avalanche. Detroit Red Wings.
Don't even start whimping the Red Wings.
No,
I butcher that all the time.
Wings.
The Red Rings. Terrible. Right? Yeah. Wedding ring. Oh, got to be Detroit. Carry on.
Avalanche. I'm just going to say Avalanche. Yep. The Avalanche would be in a playoff spot. I'm not going to say they're going to be in the same position, but uh-huh. They're going to be in a playoff. They have Rantanen. They have Cale Makar. They have other players. Okay. Connor McDavid. Yes, a big reason for Edmonton. They still have Leon Draisaitl. They have some other players as well.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto is in a playoff spot to me without Austin Matthews, or at least they're battling for.
No, one. I don't think so.
Okay. Well, Kucherov has a gajillion more points than anybody else on his team. Mm-hmm. So the scoring simply wouldn't be there. He has more assists than Braden Point and Steven Stamkos combined.
Right.
And these are not schlubs. I'm not bringing up fourth liners who are playing 8 minutes a game. This is Steven Stamkos and Braden Point. These are the top two scorers on that team. I just don't think Tampa is where they are or even close to it without Kucherov. That is why he is my MVP today. Now, to support your argument down the line, Austin Matthews scores 70. They have to give it to him. If he scores 70, that's a magical number. They have to give it to him. I don't care if Kucherov has 180 points. He'll probably have a lot of goals. So maybe
so,
that's not going to work
yeah,
out.
When,
you know
when,
what I mean?
When he won the Hart in 21-22, Matthews had 60 goals in 73 games. So put that in perspective as well. Mm-hmm. He missed nine. And the total points were 106. He was sixth in points. McDavid led the league with 123. Huberto had 115. Gaudreau. Remember when Johnny Gaudreau had 115 points? Anyway, remember when he decided to go to Columbus? Ah, save that for the next part. The goals is goals are sexy. So if he gets to, you asked me today. So I'm just picturing, say he hits 70. Yeah, you have to give it to him. Even if he gets to 65, based on what they did in 21-22 when he had 60, McDavid at 123 points, I think they're still going to give it to him.
All right.
But you know
if,
what?
If he scores 70, he's going
to
get it.
To have the discussion of those four incredible talents right now down the stretch is, it's awesome.
Who are all having absolutely, the fact is one of them isn't even going to make the ballot. Isn't that banana strudels? Yeah. It is nuts.
That makes my jaw drop. Just like Connor
Bedard. McDavid might not make the ballot.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, he would.
Okay, who doesn't? Nathan MacKinnon, Austin Matthews.
That's why the NHL, and I've said this forever, you need to expand it to five. Certain trophies, you need to expand it to five. You really do.
I'm fine with that.
You missed my jaw dropping thing. That was the reference to Connor Bedard. My jaw drops, jaw broken jaw.
No, because
it's okay.
That's bad.
No.
Such dark humor.
No, yeah, but I'm saying he's come back and he hasn't missed a beat. So nothing can break him, not even a jaw. Okay, can you hurry up and finish? Because I'm just going to keep going on this.
All right, so Connor Bedard is back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
And I'm making no puns here.
No.
And now, all of a sudden, when it seemed like he wasn't always going to be in the conversation, but he didn't have the best shot at winning the Calder Trophy.
Right.
Now he's the odds-on favorite once more. And that's what happens when
he's just too good. He's just so good.
He is so good. I will say partly because the favorite a couple of weeks ago was Brock Faber. With the Minnesota Wild, and he hasn't scored in four games. And it doesn't sound like a lot when you haven't scored in four games as a rookie, but when Connor Bedard is, you know, putting up 2 points a night and being ridiculous, then it makes a difference, obviously. So if Bedard does continue his pace, it's going to be very difficult for Brock Faber to retake that position.
Yeah, he last played January 5th, then he broke the jaw, then he came back on the 15th of February. And since then, he has 6 points in three games. I mean, it's just, he's a different player. So he will absolutely, if he just continues to do like he's doing right now, he's gonna
I always feel so ripped off about that stuff too. Just like what would have happened. And by the way, he didn't break his jaw. Somebody broke his jaw for him. It's not like he fell on his face. But it would have been neat to see what he could have done in a full 82 game season.
Yeah. Well, you know, McDavid was hurt too, right? Early on in his career.
Doesn't make me feel better.
I'm trying. I'll leave you with one last thing. I know last week or the week before I talked about Brock Faber when you mentioned that Bedard is the favorite.
Oh.
Yeah, to win the Calder. Okay. That was good. That was fun.
He's your best pun material because last time he fell out of favor and that's still my favorite of yours. I actually have it written down as my favorite. My favorite Peyton pun.
Yeah, I think that book, the notebook you're writing with that is getting thicker every day. Been a lot of fun. Again, we're counting down the days till trade deadline March 8th, and then soon after that, a month and change, we'll be into round one of the postseason. Crazy how time is flying. We're out of time. Speaking of time, great to have everybody listening as always. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan and Payton at Victoria Matiash. Also on Instagram at PizzaRP at Matiash Victoria. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts on the SiriusXM app. And thanks again. We're brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Go online and get a 25% discount off of their fantastic items. Have a Vic. I'm Ryan. Until next time.
Pucks in 7 brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.